open your Bibles, please, and let's read together from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. The book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you, for every one that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, and do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. These words are recorded by Matthew, but they were spoken by Jesus Christ. They're from his Sermon on the Mount, and we've been studying that for several Sundays now. And as we understand the Sermon on the Mount, we know that its application directly is to those who are his disciples. And as Jesus teaches his disciples, he has already taught them about prayer. We studied in the sixth chapter about praying and how that we should go into our closet, and when we're there and we have shut the door, to pray to our Father which is in secret. And the Father who sees us in our secret place will then reward us openly. And then he speaks of the model prayer, which is a model prayer for our praying in public. And after Jesus has left that subject for a little while, he comes back to it again in verse 7 of chapter 7 and teaches more about prayer. I think maybe the Lord began to think about what he'd said, and maybe he thought that he had complicated prayer too much. You know, that's something that we would normally do. If something's very, very simple, we'd like to complicate it as much as we can. And I think in order to avoid his disciples complicating the matter of prayer, that Jesus speaks this particular parable, gives this particular illustration so that we do not complicate prayer, that we leave it as simple as God made it. And prayer is this simple. It's as simple as asking your earthly father to pass the chicken or to pass the cornbread. That's how simple it is. There are no mysteries connected to prayer. There are no secrets that are involved in prayer. And God does not answer prayer upon the basis of our doing, and then he rewards us for our doing. And I realize that what I say is contrary to the modern theological concepts of prayer, that prayer is heard by our Lord and given to us because he does this in reaction to what we have done, or gives it as a consequence of what we have done, that it is a payoff for our being good, or it is our wage for having accomplished a particular thing. It's sort of like payday today. In other words, God, I want this today, and I want it upon the basis of I have done these things or I have not done these things, depending upon which way you look at it. God, I was good. I didn't do anything really bad. I paid my tithes, I attended church, I did all the good things, and now I want you to give me all these things. But we know that when a Pharisee prayed that prayer, he went away not having received what God had to give. But when a man said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, then God did for him all that mercy could do for him. I'm amazed at how complicated so many preachers make prayer. It's seven keys to successful praying, as though there are seven locks, and there are seven keys to these seven locks, and if we can get the right key in the right lock and open all seven locks, when we've done that, then God will hear us. There are no locks on prayer. There are no mysteries to prayer. There are no secrets to prayer. And that's what Jesus meant to teach by these parables. That we may be impressed by those who would beg us and promise us, but God isn't. Sometimes people use these verses of Scripture and say, brother, it just means that when you want something, just keep on asking till you get it. Brother, if you want something, just keep on seeking till you find it. Brother, if you're looking for something, just keep on knocking until the door's open and you get it. Just go before God and besiege His throne and don't let Him sleep day or night until finally God just gives up and says, I'm never going to get any rest until this guy gets what he wants. Just give it to him and get him out of my hair like some sort of spoiled child who begs and begs and begs and begs. What a terrible concept of God, and what a terrible concept of prayer, and what a terrible concept of who you are as God's child. He said, well, but what about the widow and the importunate friend? Well, what God is trying to say in these illustrations is I'm not like that. I'm not like this judge who finally let the woman have her way because she just begged and begged and begged. God is saying, I'm not like a friend who comes and you finally get up and give him what he wants even though you've gone to bed. I'm not like that. And a lot of people say that's what God is like. But God is telling the parable to tell people, I'm not like that. God is saying, I'm not like you. I'm not like a friend of yours who's gone to bed and you want some loaves to feed company that's come and you just go and beat on the door until he finally lets you in. God is saying, I'm not that way. Why would God be that way, since he knows what we want before we ask him? You know, people say, we'll just beat on the door of God's presence until God admits us. Against His will, against His better judgment, against what's good for you. It's an absurdity. Well, it says, preacher, ask and it shall be given you. That's exactly right. That's what it means, too. Ask and it shall be given you. The word ask means to entreat, to express a petition from an inferior to a superior, such as a son to the father. And it shall be given, that is, presented. It implies the notion of being freely given without force or intimidation. Seek, that is, strive to find, look for it. And if you do, you'll find it. You can discover the things that you're seeking for. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That is to rap. That's it. How many times are you supposed to knock? It says knock. And it shall be opened. You know, a lot of people think that if you're going to have anything from God, you oh, God, God, open the door, God, here I am. Open the door, God, please, God, open. No, that's the way men are. If you want God to open, that's all you have to do. And he says, come in. You know, we like to put prayer on the level of begging because that lets us glory in our persistence. You know what God is saying? God is saying that the disciple will never lose his dependence upon God. You will never lose your dependence upon God. When you're young, ask. When you're middle-aged, ask. When you're elderly, ask. Just keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Never assume that you do not need to ask God, for He is your heavenly Father. Just as a son would not cease to ask his own father when he is in the home. Ask, may I? Seek, just look at it. Keep looking. Knock. Very simple illustrations of how men receive things in this world. And Jesus said in verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. You know, this is really based on a family that has sat down to supper. On the home meal. And it's not complicated. Verse 8 is simply saying, when we ask, God gives. When we seek, God reveals. When we knock, God opens. The idea of seeking is the sense of asking for something to be shown us. And so the idea is this, that we want to know the truth. We have a desire to have God reveal to us the truth, and we're seeking the truth. But God says, nah, I ain't going to show it to him today. Let him look some more. Let him seek the truth for 10 years with all of his heart. I might show it to him then. See, we think this shows a reluctance. It doesn't show a reluctance. It shows a willingness. It's not the reluctance of God that's described here. It is the perfect willingness of God. Now he goes to the earthly father to set a circumstance. The circumstance is the evening meal, if you please. Just supper. Family sits down to supper. And we've got a son, a boy. If you please. Or what man is there of you? What human father among you? Says, just think about you as a father. When the son makes a request, if a son asks bread, now notice there's a similarity here between these little individual loaves, what we might call a dinner roll, just small little biscuit, a piece of bread designed for the individual. It might even look like a washed stone, you know. There's that kind of, you know, sort of play a joke on the boy. Now, If his son asked bread, would he give him a stone? I mean, we've sat down to eat and we've offered our blessing, whatever that is, and it's time now to eat, and the son says, Father, may I have bread? And his father then, in some cruel intent, gives him a stone that's like the shape of the bread he's asked for. And to a hungry son, to a hungry child, very cruel joke. And he's actually saying, would you do your children that way? Would you do your son that way? When you sit down to eat and he says, pass the bread, you're going to slip him a rock. You get a big laugh out of that. Does that make any sense to you? Does that present a compassionate and caring father? The answer is, of course not. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? That is, perhaps eel and a snake are similar, but sometimes fish is long shaped and so is a snake. Both live in the water. So we have secreted a snake so that when our son asks for a fish, then I can give him a snake. Why? Some sort of joke, some sort of growing up experience? What? Why the snake? Why do it? What's the sense of it? To punish? To embarrass? To humiliate? What is the purpose of giving the son a stone or giving the son a snake? What's the purpose of it? And Jesus is saying, you don't do that to your children, do we? When we sit down and our child says, pass the beans, we just want them out of our ability to provide, pass the beans. Please pass the bread, we just pass the bread. We don't say, now, son, there are 7 mysteries to receiving the bread. There are 7 keys to unlock the bread plate. And when you've found these 7 mysteries that have to do with the bread plate, I'll give you some. And yet, theologically, people who are ignorant talk this way. And Jesus said, if ye then being evil, he puts us in our place. If ye then being evil, and the word is poneros, and it means malignant. It means that we are rotten to the core, if you please. If we then being sinners are evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Do we know how to give good gifts to our children? Yes, we do. In spite of our being a bad person, because we all have a sin nature, if we then being bad or evil know how to give our son a piece of bread when he asks for a piece of bread, and to give him a fish when he asks for a fish, if we know how to do that, being evil fathers, how much more? Not how less more. But how much more? How much more shall your Father... Now listen, we can't confuse this because Jesus won't let us. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? How great are the possibilities? That he would give wholesome gifts to those who ask. If evil fathers give gifts to their child, to their children because they ask, our perfect Father will also give to us the things we need. Now, you say, preacher, but how does that relate to prayer, if that is praying, and I ask, and I don't get. You know, I asked my Heavenly Father, and I didn't get it. Why didn't I get it? Is He just being cruel to me? Well, what did you ask for? He said, well, I asked for the plate. of bread. What do you mean you asked for the plate of bread? Well, I wanted all of it. I asked for the whole plate. And I wanted the whole plate of fish. And he didn't give me the bread and he didn't give me the fish. You know, God's not truthful. Now what did the son ask for? How many pieces of bread did he ask for? He said what? He asked for bread. How many fish did he ask for? He asked for a fish. But how's the boy going into the fish and bread business if he just gets one fish and one piece of bread? Now, James addressed this issue, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in other books of the Bible trying to work out some elaborate theological scheme, but I think this pretty well answers the question. James in 4:2 said, "Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and can obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not, because ye ask not." How are you going to get things? Well, I'll kill for it. I'll go to war and get it. I'll take it away from you. And James is saying that hadn't worked. No, you don't have because you don't ask. And they said, but we ask. And we didn't get it when we asked, so we went to war to get it. We decided we'd take it on our own passion, upon our own ability and get it. And so we killed. We involved ourselves in physical activity to get it. Take it away from the people. They won't share it with you. And James said, yeah, you ask. But you receive not, because you ask amiss. And the word amiss there means wickedly or for a wrong purpose, that you may consume it, where? Consume it upon your lusts. The word consume means to waste or to exhaust, to impoverish. And really what he's saying is there were people who were asking, but they weren't getting, because they were asking so they could take it and literally have so much they would waste it on themselves. So if this young person, this son, had asked his father, hey, Dad, give me 5 of those big loaves, or give me 10 of those loaves and give me 10 fish, guess how many he'd gotten. Well, he might not have gotten any, but I don't think his father would have said, okay. How many times do we say to our children, you'll never eat all that. You're taking out far more than you could ever eat. And you know, there is a greediness in children, at least in yours, I'm sure. Probably some of your grandchildren are greedy. Yours, of course. And they take out more than they can eat. And we say then that their eyes are bigger than their stomachs, but they just greedy little rascals. My grandchildren? Yes, yours. And the reason your grandchildren is greedy is because your children were greedy. Yeah. Look, if you don't think this is true, then go to, well, someplace like Ryan's up here that just opened, which is the House of Gluttony. Okay. Do you see people taking little small amounts of things and why do people go there? So they know that they're not going to go away hungry. I mean, you know why they don't give you big plates at a place like that? Why they say, well, they'll just give us big old plates. If they did, guess what happened? You'd either pile on more than you could eat, or you'd pile on more than you need. and go home and lie down because you're sick. There's just a basic greediness in human beings, saved or lost. We're just going to get an extra. People are always looking for some kind of handout. And we don't get over it. You wonder why there is a move on in the state of Arkansas to get casino gambling and lottery and these things. Why is it that there's a good chance that these will pass if they can ever get on the ballot? Why do you think that a person would invest in a lottery ticket? Because they want to get more than they spend, okay? It's greed. Nothing but greed drives the gambler to get something for nothing. Covetousness. And we don't lose that just because we've been saved. And these people that James is writing about, these scattered Hebrews, he's just simply saying, you guys asked, but you didn't get. And they said, that's right. And you said to ask, and we would get. And he said, yeah, but you guys are acting. You're asking so you can get enough that you can just consume it or literally waste it and wrongly apply it. You just want more than you need. That might be one of the things we ought to consider. We take too much off the plate that God passes us the food in, so God may rebuke us for our greediness and for our covetousness. So God is saying, I'm not like your earthly father, because I'm perfect and he's evil. And just as he, being an evil person, knows how to give good gifts to his children, I know much better how to give good gifts to my children. So don't quit asking. Don't quit seeking. Don't quit knocking. Just ask and seek and knock. I'm your father. Isn't it a blessedness to think of God's graciousness to his children? He's not trying to trip us up. He's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to make it difficult. He's not revealing some hidden secret, some mystery. He's just saying, like a child trusts his father when he says, Dad, can I have the bread, please? It doesn't enter the child's mind that his dad is going to go into some long song and dance about all this stuff you did and didn't do and all that, how tough times are. It's just simple enough. The son asks for bread. The dad gives him the bread. That's it. That's what Jesus is saying. Be a son. Ask for the bread. I'll give you the bread. But don't take the plate so he can sell it and keep your brothers and sisters from getting any. It's kind of hard to just take one when it's free, isn't it? Well, have one. Well, I've got three children. They all like these too, right? And the guy doesn't take it back. Well, I'll get one for my wife. Well, maybe one for my father and one for my mother, you know. Well, you know, my neighbors like one too. Thank you. As long as they hold a basket out, you know, we're... Well, okay, I'll get one more. Thank you. Well, maybe just one more, right? Especially if it's a big box of chocolates, right? Maybe this one. It's our covetousness that drives us, and greed. Be a good child. You've got a good father. Ask for the things you need. You need something open to you, then knock. You don't have to beat the door down. Just let him know you're there. It's just that way, okay? Because, see, God is better than any earthly father that ever lived. Okay, I had a wonderful dad. And you know, the thing that bothered me sometimes about asking Dad was I didn't want to ask him because I knew that my daddy would go sell something that was valuable to him to give something to me if I really wanted it. My dad and mother would do without shoes so their children could have shoes. Isn't that true of you? You were in school, your sister, your brother, your dad and mom. Mom put the same old pair of shoes on day after day. Dad wore the same old pair of shoes. Why? So you could have a new pair of shoes to go to school. Our parents loved us. They cared for us. Now, I know there are exceptions, but this is what we're talking about. God is better parent. God is a better heavenly father than any earthly father that ever lived on this earth. Now, what about my relationship to God in getting and receiving? Well, it's this way, isn't it? Well, what about my relationship to you? You know, human to human. How about my relationship to you? How am I going to get you to help me? What is our relationship going to be based on among ourselves? Am I supposed to go over and ask you? Am I supposed to go over and knock and say, I've come to get this? And some preachers do. God help them. That is from their parishioners, from their congregation. You know, God has told me, I had one fellow tell me that I went to visit his home and his nice motorcycle was gone. I said, what happened to it? And he said, well, my pastor asked me for it and I gave it to him. And I said, on what basis did he ask for it? And he said, but God told him to ask me for it. And he said, I certainly couldn't turn him down since God had told him to ask me for it. And I said, what did he want it for? He said, well, he wanted his son that was going to college. That's a good way to get things. But I don't know, maybe I don't have any faith in you. Because you looked at me and said, God told you what? To give you what? Preacher, get off my porch. If you want one, go buy one. Well, maybe not that rude, but you're nice people. But what's our relationship based on? Well, listen, here's what Jesus said. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This will take care of your relationship to God. This will take care of your relationship to everybody else. Is do what? Treat them like you want to be treated. You see a guy in need, and you go over and help him, he'll give you. He sees you in need, and if he's the kind of man he ought to be, he'll come and help you. So our relationship to God and getting things from God is based upon our asking God. Our relationship with one another is not based so much upon our asking one another as it is being conscious of one another so that if one has a need, we're willing to help because we know that if we help, they in turn will help us. I want to be helped when I'm in need, then I will help you when you're in need. There is a reciprocity between humans, but there is a granting and a giving from God. Whatever, therefore, you would have men do to you, do you also to them. Therefore, you must always treat other people as you would like to have them treat you. But that's not the way you treat God. We don't treat God good so God will give us things, but we treat our neighbors good. We treat our fellow church members good because there is, we believe, a reciprocity. There is a need that I have, and then when you have a need, I'll try to help you with your need. We understand we need one another. And I think that's why it says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men, not God, but men. What do you want God to do to you? Well, you ask, and you seek, and you knock. What do you want men to do to you? Well, you don't seek and ask and knock. You treat. And this is the law and the prophets. It fulfills our obligations to one another. It fills our obligation to God in the sense of He is our Father. We ask and He gives. Our obligation to one another is seen in this very statement that was made back in the Old Testament days. If you'd live this way, it'd fulfill the law. If you'd live this way, it'd fulfill the prophets. You'd live your life this way. As a child of God and as a person in this world and as a fellow church member. You want to know all the rules and regulations that regulate our lives? My friend, that's it. You want to know how to be a good Christian? That's just about it. You know how to be a good church member? That's just about it.